Hi dear movie breakers, here I am still at a Vision du Rail in Nyon, Switzerland, and now I can have finally the most exciting interview of this whole festival, which is with a special guest, and it's a director that you all know. He's famous for his documentaries, but you also did feature films like The Young Karl Marx and your documentaries, of course, Lost and Found and I Am Not Your Negro, the amazing James Baldwin documentary, Raoul Peck. Hi, it's great to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And now you're here. You've also been in politics. You've been Minister of Culture. You've done like studies all over the world. How does it feel now to look back?
Well, first of all, I try not to look back. And well, it's a result of a whole life, you know. It doesn't just pop up like this. It's the accumulation of many, many events in the life of a person and decisions, of course, that, and over the years, it's an accumulation. I don't look back. It's always about what can I discover more? What can I do better? What, basically, how can I explain the world as it is better for more people to understand what's going on?
And what's going on at the moment with the world is that we are in a time where there's like a new right-wing shift in multiple countries. And as somebody who has been active with films that are very political-minded, your political work was always very socially, very politically-minded. How do you feel in such a time?
Well, I'm still very angry at a lot of things. But when you say a shift. But for me, the shift have been happening since the 60s. If you see your place in the whole planet and not just the Western part of it, you have a totally different point of view. You know, the same democracies who are preaching democracy, human rights, transparency, you know, freedom of speech, were supporting dictatorial regime in our country. So that contradiction, you know, I was aware of it when I was a young person. The Americans who were deploying all their soft power around the world, at the same time, they were supporting a bloody dictatorship in Haiti. And that was already a huge right-wing shift. Now that is taking, of course, huge proportion in a country like France, where suddenly you have almost 40% of the electorate voting extreme right. Now people are starting to look. But for me, and especially I've been living in France for a long term, I went to school in France, but those indications were there. It's just now people have less problem to voice them. But the structural terrain for it was already there. It's just people didn't pay attention.
Yeah, that's also a political shift that we see in Germany, that things that have been smoldering for decades suddenly just become more acceptable and more visible. Yeah. But it was probably, again, one of the biggest mistakes that when those right-wing movements are still comparatively or smaller, then we don't take them seriously. What do you feel that you, as somebody who has been interweaving politics and film, what do you see like your purpose in this time?
Well, I see myself as, first of all, as a citizen. You know, we can't pretend to be in a democracy, just watch or observe. Even as an artist, my job is to try to understand where I live, to understand what's going on, and to try to put it in a way that people can watch it or listen to it, have a better knowledge of their own situation. That's what I see. And it's a privilege. I always see myself as a privileged person because I can do it as a job. I reject a bit sometimes when a journalist called me, you know, you are an engaged filmmaker. No, if, you know, I think that the other ones are disengaged. I never saw art as art by itself. You know, in a society, to be an artist is an incredible privilege to be able to look at your society, to feel maybe more in a more sensible way than the normal person. I see as a responsibility of being a citizen anywhere you are, because democracy means that engaged and educated and informed citizen are engaged in what's happening in their city. That's what democracy, the word itself, means. So I just try to take it as seriously as possible.
You also have, you use your art and your work to open people's minds and make them think about important issues, entertainment and art being abused as propaganda. And the problem is also the question of representation, because sometimes or often I see fantastic, amazing movies and also other forms of art, but they completely go under the radar. They have hardly any representation. And there are a lot of very reactionary films with very problematic messages. What do you think has to happen that people realize or see the relevant films, the good films, and are not skewed by the problematic ones?
Well, it's a fight. You know, when I started in this profession, in this industry, I had no illusion. First of all, I came from, the generation before me were making what we used to call militant cinema. And I knew that cinema was not working because it was also propaganda. It was also trying to convince people who are already convinced. From early on, I knew I had to go elsewhere. I have to go where people don't expect, where people are used to be swallowing big chunk of what you call that propaganda. So that's what I tried to do from the start. And of course, doing it through cinema, that's also something I never compromise about. I am making films. I'm not making PhD. I'm not making poem. Film has very precise, it's a very precise language with its syntax, with its dramatic, etc. What I do deconstruct the usual Hollywood schema, but I make sure that I still make a film. That means I'm telling a story with characters, with emotions, knowledge, if possible, with substance, if possible, and all the other ingredients that you need in a film. I don't call it entertainment. Let's say, for me, entertainment can also be with substance.
And you also proved that by like your most famous and popular movies like The Young Calmars or Ernest Cole, your most recent, or the James Baldwin film, I'm Not Your Negro. Those are all very charismatic historical figures, also partly sometimes contentious figures in the case of Marx. How do you choose them?
They happen in very different way, but the common thread is that they all come in a very organic way. And I usually try to speak about things that I know, or things that were important in my life. And if you name Baldwin, yes, Baldwin changed my life. When I was very young, 16, 70s, I started reading Baldwin. And he became an anchor for me. The young Karl Marx, Karl Marx, by the way, I think he's controversial for the wrong reason, because mostly people don't know exactly what he actually did and what he actually changed and what he actually analyzed, which is the capitalist society. That's his main work. What other people have done with his work, you know, you can say the same with the Bible, with the Quran. You choose to interpret it differently or not to understand what is actually in the research, because what Marx and Engels did, those were scientific research. The rest was politics. Yes, they were involved as well in politics, but that's not what I kept from them. So yes, for me, it's always, you know, what are the things that trigger my inspiration, and what are the things I can talk about? I feel that I am legitimate enough to talk about or to tell the story. In the case of Ernest Cole, that is different, because I was asked by the family if I would make a movie about Ernest Cole, and I started educating myself about his life, his work. I knew his work when I was a young student in Berlin. were using his photos for the anti-apartheid fight. You know, that's how, but at the time, you know, we didn't really look at the artists. We look at use we can do of those incredible photos that were revealing for the first time the horror of the apartheid, and photos made by a South African young man who was really in the middle of the beast. It took me a few years to see how and why I could make this film. And in fact, I realized that it's also the whole portion of my own life as a young man of 17 in Berlin to the end and the freedom of Mandela. You know, I was part of that fight and I grew up with the people who were fighting in exile for it. You know, a lot of my friends were in the ANC or SWAPO or other movements. So I knew that story by heart and I knew where I was at each one of those moments in Ernest Cole's life. So I felt I could understand quite well what he was going through as being in exile and not being able to come to go back home and fight and listen to those news every day of people getting killed, of students getting killed up the street or in demonstration. I'm away and there are killings in Haiti. And by the way, right now, there are gangs in Haiti killing people. That cannot be very far from your daily life. You know, it's in your head every day. You know, exile doesn't mean that you leave everything behind and then you live totally where you happen to be. And it's like almost a double life.
You just mentioned exile. Would you say there's a place where you really feel at home? And
it's always hard for me to answer because I left Haiti when I was 8 with my parents. My parents were in exile. They have to leave because of the dictatorship. But I just grew up in many different countries. So for me, it's almost a way of life. I didn't question it. And I also learned to be totally in the country I was. When I was in the U.S., I was involved in U.S. politics. When I was in Germany, I was involved in German politics. I'm in politics wherever I am. For me, is always part of being a citizen, wherever you are. You know, it's not because I would feel not at home. Yes, there are stuff that you feel that if you were really in your country, that would never happen to you. You know, Haiti is probably indeed, when I am in my garden, in the woods, there is a feeling that, yes, nobody can tell me anything here. You know, nobody can tell me go home. That's not something I live with every day. It would be impossible to have a normal life.
Now, at this time where you just have a few years since your last movie, are you working on a new movie project, a new cinematic project, or is there something in your mind that you would like to develop?
Well, there are plenty, especially in these days. I just finished my last movie, and I think it's going to come this year out. It's about George Orwell. Because I don't stop. There's not, you know, the world is still spinning and by the way, getting worse these days. Yeah, we are always working on very different thing and not just on one thing. And as well, fiction as documentary.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I'm thankful that there are great artists like you out there. Thank you for this interview. We certainly hope to see so much more of your work, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.